It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Is it wrong to invest hoping everyone else will die first? I'm David Brancaccio. First, Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has issued a statement with the view that his company is being unfairly portrayed. This after a former employee, Frances Haugen, testified in D.C. yesterday. She's accusing the company of ignoring internal research showing its products, Instagram included, can be bad for people. Haugen believes it's time for government regulation, including revealing algorithms. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes reports.
Frances Haugen spent nearly 4 hours before Senators Tuesday talking about what she saw when she was a product manager at Facebook. She says the company's too focused on metrics, including growing the number of people on the platform, especially younger ones. Here she is speaking with Senator Brian Schatz of Hawaii.
Facebook understands that if they want to continue to grow, they have to find new users. And the way they'll do that is by making sure that children establish habits before they have good self-regulation.
By hooking kids.
Haugen said, as a company, Facebook's incentivized by short-term profits, and that it's Congress's job to pass laws requiring the company to focus on the long term. She said that could include requiring Facebook to provide more transparency into how its algorithms work.
With appropriate oversight, it's possible that Facebook could actually be a much more profitable company 5 or 10 years down the road because it wasn't as toxic, not as many people quit it.
Senators on both sides of the aisle seemed ready to provide that oversight. Several brought up bills they want to pass that would require the company to change how it does business. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
The labor market is an abstract phrase. Better is jobs. Better still, livelihoods. Ahead of Friday's big hiring and unemployment reports covering September, today the opening act, the payroll company ADP's count, and it came in stronger than the professionals were guessing. Susan Schmidt helps us from Chicago. She's head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, more hiring than expected. We'll take it.
Absolutely. So the ADP employment change came out this morning. Estimates were for an add of 430,000 jobs. Instead, we got an add of almost 570,000 jobs. More people are going back to work, and investors will take that as a positive.
I mean, sometimes this is out of sync with the official jobs report that doesn't come out till Friday. Be that as it may, what do you think are some of the forces here? I remember the previous month, August, seemed a little light, a little weak.
August did seem a little weak, and that gave the market some jitters. But then again, the government data came out on Friday, and that was a very strong number last month. People look at this and recognize there'll be some difference from the Friday number. But overall, this strong 570,000 number is going to be a positive. People are seeing that people are going back to work, back into school season. Moving on from the coronavirus and its impact on the economy, this shows that people are going back to work.
Democrats in Congress continue intra-party wrangling over a $3.5 trillion spending proposal. This is spending over 10 years. One piece in play, the expanded child tax credit, monthly stipends of up to $300 per child. Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia wants the money to come with requirements to find work, a linkage opposed by many fellow Democrats. Here's Marketplace's Amanda Peacher.
Work requirements have been useful for some safety net programs, says Diane Schanzenbach, an economist at Northwestern.
The earned income tax credit and the incentives built into that have drawn many low-income workers into the labor force.
But Schanzenbach also says it doesn't make sense to deny kids the benefit based on whether parents work.
How much do we want to punish them because mom lost her job or because mom's, you know, got mental health issues?
And working parents need childcare. Joanna Ariola Castaneda works 2.5 jobs now, but she stayed home when her 3 kids were younger. She says childcare is hard to find where she lives in Nebraska.
So that's kind of another stressor for other families. where do I take our kids if you want us to look for jobs?
Most parents that receive the child tax credit right now are working, and according to a September survey, 94% say they'll keep working if the monthly benefits continue. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
Not a something I've heard of before, but never knew the name.
How many of you are familiar with the concept of a tontine?
In a Simpsons episode, it's the local bumpkin with the smarts to answer that. It's a financial arrangement we call the tontine, where people contribute equally, but only one gets the prize. Sometimes the tontine goes to the person who lives the longest, as in this movie from 1966, The Wrong Box.
And this, by then, great sum will be handed to the one amongst you who is the last surviving member of the tontine.
Well, we don't encourage these weird lotteries in the U.S., but now some economists and financial types think maybe we should. Here to help us with this is Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell. Morning, Chris.
Good morning, David. So that film, The Wrong Box, it's talking about a tontine, this financial contract where a certain sum of money is set aside. And by the way, you cannot get the money back. And it's invested for the benefit of a group of people. Now, here's the twist. As some people die, their share of the fund goes to the survivors of the group. So with the periodic interest payments distributed only to survivors, the longer you live, the higher the payout.
Now, why did these tontines fall out of favor in the U.S.?
Okay, so they were very commonplace, and I always loved this, that a tontine financed the construction of the original home of the New York Stock Exchange in the Tontine Coffee House. Life insurance tontines were popular in 19th century America, but it was a really lightly regulated product, and it attracted all kinds of scams and abuses by promoters. So in the early 20th century, rather than improve the regulation, it was essentially banned.
So now a financial arrangement that was, as you say, abused and has an icky aspect to it should be resurrected to help current retirees maybe manage their income in their elder years? Explain, Chris.
Hey. It's finance. Okay. No, seriously. This is what four retirement experts argue in the Brookings Institution publication, Wealth After Work. First of all, it addresses the fear of outliving your assets. The design is more transparent than annuities, which is a competing product. They're cheaper to the customer than annuities for a variety of reasons. And finally, and probably the biggest attraction, they offer the prospect of higher returns depending on when people in the pool die. And regulators are confident that they could probably prevent a lot of the abuses.
All right. A perfect plan. All you have to do is live longer than everyone else. Now, is anyone using tontines in this way here in the 21st century?
Well, former employees of Swissair are benefiting from the early deaths of their colleagues. And you have tontine thinking, you know, affecting retirement saving plans in places like Sweden and Japan. So, you know, the tontine is out there and it could be a partial solution to the fear of outliving your assets.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor, Chris Farrell, thank you.
Thanks.
Bond market is rising now. The yield is now down on the 10-year, 1.52%. It's the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.